Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so you can swing over there and check that out when you get the opportunity. But you should occasionally stop by there just to see what's going on. You never know what the hell's going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now. It's been 6 years, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three of those D's.
All right, Dan. Well, actually, something, believe it or not, in the NBA actually caught my attention today. As everybody knows, if you listen to the podcast, I hate the game because it's really just dunking and three-point shooting. I mean, there's no real excitement or anything to the game anymore. But tonight, it's the last regular season game of the year. And I don't know how they managed to work this out, but in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves are tied for the last spot. The Timberwolves currently hold the tiebreaker, but interestingly enough, Dan, they're playing each other in Minnesota tonight. So basically, we have a play-in game for the right to go get swept by the Houston Rockets in the first round. But at least there's a little excitement about getting into the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I know we kind of root for the Timberwolves with, you know, Thibodeau and, you know, Jimmy Butler is there and, you know, Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose ended up there. So it's, you know, a lot of former Bulls that we, you know, saw, you know, years here. You want to see them get in? You kind of rooting for them tonight to find their way in?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the playoff experience is what it's all about.
Yes. You need that experience, even if it's just four games against the Rockets. Or, hey, who knows? Maybe they'll get lucky and they'll win a game. Maybe it'll be five games against the Rockets. But, yeah. You know, just
well,
those.
I mean, play the good D on James Harden. They can get, you know, a couple of games, maybe two out of it.
Yeah, and, you know, you never know. I mean, obviously, you know, strange things happen. I don't think anybody expects them to go in, you know, either team to go into a playoff series against the Rockets and win it. But, you know, I kind of like the idea that it, you know, it actually means a little something. You know, it's not just, I know in the East, the 76ers have a one-game lead over the Cavaliers. Surprisingly, both teams are playing tonight. I really thought the NBA would give LeBron the day off. The 76ers actually have a tough little matchup against the Bucks, but the Bucks can't improve their position with the playoff win. And then the Cavaliers are playing the Knicks, who, sadly for you, just never really put it together after being kind of decent early on. I guess there's a little something there, but I don't know if the Bucks or the Knicks or even the Cavaliers are going to be motivated to play. I know somebody tried to make a big deal out of the fact that if LeBron plays tonight, he'll have played in all 82 games. Dan, do you think that's important at all and have any semblance, or are they just kind of digging for a story on the last day of the year?
Only if he started all 82 does it count.
Yeah, I think he did, actually. Did he not start a game? I'm trying to remember, but I think he started all the games. So, Yeah, because they were they were doing everything they could to say he was doing this so he could compare himself to Michael Jordan, who used to play, you know, all the time, basically regardless. So, you know, it was just one of those things. And it's like, man, we are just really, really hurting for stories, aren't we, that this is what we got to come up with? We can't come up with anything better that we got to dig for. This is why LeBron is playing tonight. He wants to play all 82 games to be like Michael, even though he'll never be better than him. He wants to be like him. So, like, oh, God, just shoot me, Dan, please.
Oh, but it will be interesting as these playoffs kind of go along and to see where the Cavs end up.
Yeah, you know, I think no matter what spot they end up in, they'll either be the 3 seed or the 4 seed. They're going to have an interesting first-round matchup. You know, the 3 seed is going to get Milwaukee, who is one of those, you know, they're that young, goofy, athletic team that, you know, if they get on a roll against you, could really bury you in a series, you know, if they were just to get going. And then, you know, if they're in the 4 spot, they end up getting the Indiana Pacers, who I think have been surprisingly better than anybody actually thought they were going to be. Now, I think you and I both know that there's no way the NBA is going to let LeBron go out in the first round. So no matter who he plays, they're going to find a way to make sure he at least gets to round 2. But I don't know. Could it be interesting? Do you see maybe they stretch him out and he's got to go 6 or 7 games?
I think so. I think the days of Cleveland sweeping is kind of over with. You know, one man can't provide for the whole team.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I think if the referees allow him to provide for the whole team, they could, couldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so.
Every time he misses, it's a foul?
Yes. which I believe it probably will be. I'm under, you know, under the impression that that's kind of how it's going to work out. We'll have to see how it goes. But interestingly, I don't know how you might want to explain this one. I don't know how the Mickey Mouse Network dropped the boat on this one. The first game they're carrying tonight happens to be the Bucks at the 76ers. And now I get it. Philly's won 15 in a row and they're a hot team. Dan, why in the hell didn't they show Denver at Minnesota? It does happen to be on NBA TV, so I can watch it. You don't have NBA TV, do you?
Nope.
Or is that Emma? Well, yeah, so I can actually watch it on NBA TV. I can check out a little bit of it. But, yeah, I mean, wouldn't it make more sense to have a much more meaningful game? You know, kind of like NBC with the NFL has the right where they can swap games. You know, for Sunday night football, why, with all the money the Mickey Mouse Network's paying for the NBA, why the hell don't they have that?
Well, I mean, why didn't they just go with the Yankees Red Sox tonight instead of the NBA?
Well, that's because the MLB Network has it for the next. It for the next 2 days.
You know. Yeah, but big guess. We both know how this works. Wednesday night baseball is ESPN's thing. So the only reason MLB got Thursday is because, you know, they decided to take Tuesday night so that they could show the NBA. But, you know, I'm sure it's just their thing. I don't know. I don't know if NBA TV wants the ratings and they're not willing to give up the game.
Yeah, I would think, though, with the money the Mickey Mouse Network's paying, you know, they would have the – well, maybe not, but I would think they would have the first – you know, the first option, you know, who knows how that kind of works out. But yeah, it just seemed when I was looking at it, cause Schomburg Stu actually brought it up to me. He was wondering if the game was on TV and I was like, no, I don't think so. And then, yeah, when I hunted it down, you know, it was like, oh yeah, it's on good old NBA TV, not the Mickey Mouse Network, which is supposed to be the leader in covering the NBA. Huh, that's interesting. So, and they don't even have a Wednesday night baseball game. There's not even on the number two channel or the Ocho.
Well, no, because Wednesday night baseball was hosted Tuesday night.
So it's now Tuesday night baseball instead of Wednesday night baseball?
Well, no, I think it was just done for this week.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the NFL does the, when they opened up Wednesday night that one year with Dallas and NBC, but it was still, they still called it Sunday night baseball or Sunday, whatever the hell they call it.
Yes. So,
Yeah.
That was just kind of, or maybe they moved it to Tuesday night because this was the last day of the NBA season or something goofy like that. And it goes back to Wednesday next week if there's no playoff games, or how does that work?
Well, that's exactly, what I was trying to say. They moved it.
You know, and then it moves
for the 1 week.
It moves to Thursday. It moves to Thursday if there's something else going on Wednesday, or technically it could be Friday, Wednesday night baseball on Friday. Oh, I don't know. Just, you know how that goes. I don't know.
You're thinking too much about it.
I'm confused now.
Here's something that's a lot less confusing, and I don't know if you captured my invite to it or not, but apparently every Wednesday at 1 o'clock is Facebook Watch's baseball game of the week. So obviously it's going to be a different game every week. I tuned in because there was a survey that I got last week, which I really couldn't fill out because I listened to the game, but I didn't really watch much of it. I don't know if you checked it out, but to me, it really wasn't any different than any other broadcast, except they didn't have commercial break, which was kind of cool. But, you know, I was under the impression that without the commercial breaks, they were going to follow the live in attendance type stuff. And from the first four innings I watched, there was nothing of that sort. So it was just, you know, this week it was Plesac, some guy I never heard of, and somebody else. And that really wasn't anything special.
Yeah, I did get your invite, but I was asleep. So I did not see it.
You should have woke up.
I need my sleep. It's very important for me to get as much sleep as possible. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But all right, well, we did have a lot of early baseball, and we've got six finals in the books already, and two more games that'll be final, or at least one more game that'll be final real soon. We had the Atlanta Braves beat the Washington Nationals 5-3 in 12 innings. Shane Carley got the win, and Ryan Matson took the loss. The Twins beat the Astros 9-8. Fernando Rodney got the win, and Brad Peacock got the loss. Of course, Rodney had to blow the save to get the win, but that's a different story. The Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2. Junior Guerrero got the win. Adam Wainwright took the loss, and Matt Elbers picked up a save for the Brewers. The White Sox beat the Rays 2-1. Bruce Rondon got the win. Austin Pruitt took the loss, and Nate Jones picked up a save in that game. The Mariners got a win. They beat the Royals 4-2. Nick Vincent got the win. Justin Grimm took the loss for the Royals, and Edwin Diaz got the save. And then the Rockies ended up beating the Padres in a bit of a slugfest, literally, 6-4, as Antonio Senzatella got the win. Buddy Bauman took the loss, and Wade Davis picked up another save there for the Rockies. He's got 5 or 6 already, so he's doing all right. The game that is close to being over, the Diamondbacks are beating the Giants 7-3 in the top of the 9th inning, and just underway are the Tigers and the Indians. There's no score, so there's that, and there still are. How many games are there left to start? I think just about everybody's playing tonight, aren't they? Yeah, it looks like 7 games left to go. The Blue Jays are at the Orioles. It's Marco Estrada and Kevin Gausman as the starters. The Reds are at the Phillies. It's Luis Castillo and Nick Pivetta. The game on the MLB Network, of course, is the Yankees and the Red Sox. That's not only today, it's tomorrow as well. It's Masahiro Tanaka against David Price. The Mets are at the Marlins. Dan, I get a start from Zach Wheeler. I had to take him off the NA list today to get him into the lineup. He's starting for the Mets against Harlan Garcia. The Angels are at the Rangers. It's Jamie Barnes against Matt Moore. The Pirates are here in Chicago to play the Cubs. It's Stephen Brault against John Lester. And the night wraps up with the A's at the Dodgers. It's Daniel Megden against Alex Wood. So there you go. We're all caught up on baseball. And oddly, Dan, they have the listed starter for the Tigers today as Jordan Zimmermann. But looking at the game, I'm streaming it. It looks like Daniel Norris made the start. So there, I don't know if there was a Zimmermann injury or what happened. So hopefully, if you had Zimmermann or you have Norris, you were able to make a fantasy swap before it was too late. So
I think I had Jordan Zimmermann, but I think I dropped him already.
But yeah, they don't. All right, well, let's see if there's any.
While you were breaking down the scores today and who's playing, I pulled up the awesome fights or lack thereof down there in Colorado. And, you know, I was kind of wondering why when right before we got on air, I was checking my fantasy team, why Luis Perdomo only had two innings pitched. So, you know, I get it. The unwritten rules of baseball, but they could have waited till the fifth or sixth inning.
All right. Well, here you go, Dan. I found out why Jordan Zimmermann is no longer in the game. I used Dan's favorite search engine, Bing, and I just typed in Jordan Zimmermann news. And the first article that pops up says Detroit Tigers Jordan Zimmermann exits game after line drive to face. So, yeah. He lasted, according to this, seven pitches, and Jason Kipnis lined the ball off his face.
Ooh.
So that's why Daniel Norris is. So, yeah, not good. I haven't seen it or anything like that, so hopefully he's okay. But, yeah, that's just a frightening situation there. But, yeah, getting back to the fight, you know, you and I were talking about it, or lack thereof, like you said. You know, last night the Rockies hit San Diego's center fielder, Manuel Margot, and, I mean, he got drilled in the ribs. I mean, this was straight-up fastball to the ribs. You know, who knows if it was intentional. You never know about that kind of stuff. But, you know, he ended up going on the DL. They had to put him on the DL today. So, you know, as the game was going along, I believe one of the Padres got hit first. And then an inside pitch kind of went off Trevor Story's, like, elbow guard or something. And, you know, with the way the guys are all, basically geared up, you know, who knows if it was intentional or not. But then they threw up and into Hunter Renfro, the Padres right fielder, and it was scary because it was up under the head. And, you know, like, I don't have a problem. You want to throw at a guy, but you don't throw at a guy's head. That's like BS. So when the Padres retaliated, Perdomo threw behind Arenado, but it was waist high. So he wasn't head hunting or anything like that. He was just getting his point across, and Arenado completely overreacted, and he went running out to the mound, and he dodged the glove, and then they did a little dance, and he threw a punch that, like, grazed the back of his Perdomo's head. You know, I hope baseball makes a statement here and they suspend Arenado for about 10 games because he completely overreacted. You know, I know nobody likes to get thrown at, but that was just complete garbage with the way he did that. You know, five Padres had been hit in the series before they hit Trevor Story. So I don't know how many free shots they thought they were going to get. before, you know, a Rocky guy had to be hit. And again, when, you know, you see the story hit batsmen, it's not even anything that you're like, oh, well, it was just an inside pitch that got away a little bit and it went off like his elbow guard. So it was like, okay, that's, you know, that's not that big a deal. But yeah, you know, the Hunter Renfro one, I mean, he got lucky he didn't get hit in the face. You know, so then Arenado's going to freak out about a ball that went behind him. Give me a break. You know, and I like Arenado. Obviously, he's one of the best players in baseball, but that was crap.
Well, the thing, not to mention the fact that, you know, keeping your eye on the ball, he almost jumped into it behind, you know, the ball going behind him. He almost actually jumped into it. So I kind of laughed at that. But I will say for Perdomo's side of it, it was pretty funny to watch him throw his glove at him. I don't know if that was some kind of deterrence. But even if he did hit him, I don't think it would have changed anything. But I also think that Perdomo was very, very smart in that he closed his fist and just got into defense mode and really wasn't swinging. A pitcher like himself does not need to injure that throwing hand or even the other hand in a fight like this. It could be, I don't want to say the end of his career, but, you know, it could not lead to anything that would work out for him, essentially.
Did you see Bull Durham the other day when it was on MLB Network? Is that why you brought that up?
Oh. Brought out, saw what? I don't have MLB Network anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, they have the scene in Bull Durham where the Nuke LaRouche character punches Crash Davis. And the first thing Crash asks him is, what hand did you hit me with? So, you know, he's like, you know, you don't want to break your right hand on, you know. So that I thought that's what you were relating to. Yeah, I forgot. We just talked about that. You don't have the MLB Network. And I spaced it off just like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, it was, you know, like I said, it was just ridiculous. I mean, I know, you know, you've got to suspend Perdomo. It'll be interesting to see. I think they threw A.J. Ellis and Gerardo Parra out for throwing punches. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up getting, if they just get fines or if they get a game or two. But I'm very interested to see if they're willing to come down on Arenado hard. I don't think they will because he's a star in the game and they don't want to take him out for a long time. But, yeah, Dan, I mean, if it was me, Dan, it would be 10 games. You know, and then when he filed his appeal like he wanted to, I would bring it down one and you'd miss nine. So, you know, that would just be it. I mean, these guys have got a, you know, and I'm all for, I mean, if you get drilled and, you know, it's up and in and you didn't like it and you go to the mound, I can understand that, but this was just a total, basically a total kind of panty waste move on his part. And I didn't think he was that kind of player. I had heard him in a few interviews and, you know, he seemed like a guy who really knew and understood the game. He clearly had no idea what was going on. I mean, you can't have five guys drilled on one team and them only hit one of your guys and not think they're going to throw a star player. You know, I mean, they put a guy on the DL. What did he think was going to happen? You know, and I mean, it was, you know, like I said, it was waist high. If he wouldn't have moved, it probably would have hit him in the rear end, you know, that, you know, and that happens, you know, and it ended up going behind him and he just, you know, and again, I, you know, hey, I've been hit, you know, hundreds of times. I know nobody likes it, but, you know, I mean, wasn't headhunting, you know, not like the Rockies pitcher was. It was, you know, nothing to do with that. And he freaked out like, you know, basically a little bitch. So, you know, just ridiculous. But, well, you know, we'll see how long baseball takes to react. And, you know, the weird part about this, you know, Dan, is if this carries on, these teams play, what, 19 games total against each other in a season now? Is that what it is when you're in the division? You know, this could get incredibly ugly.
Only game four, or I'm sorry, game three or two?
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah.
Well, and oddly, the way that the scheduling worked out, and I don't know how it worked out for the Padres and the Rockies, but the Giants and the Dodgers actually play 10 times, I think, by the end of May or even before this month is over.
Yeah, you know, I thought I heard something weird on the White Sox broadcast. Like, they wrap up with the Rays in next month. They're already done playing the Rays, and it'll only be May.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, okay. I know it's spit out by a computer. It's not like there's a guy sitting down writing out the baseball schedule anymore. You know, they just pump it in the, computer, and here we go. But yeah, that's just kind of strange. You know, it's like, really, this is what it kind of spit out. You know, you couldn't plug it in any better. You know, you think by now we would be more advanced with the computer, so we stopped getting those stupid two-game series and all those other weird things it spit. But we never do.
No, I could care less if the White Sox Tampa Bay Rays series wraps up tomorrow for the rest of the season. I mean, 976 entries into the cell, to G-Rate Field yesterday. I mean, obviously no one cares to see these two teams play each other, so.
Yeah, well, we're talking, it's two bad teams. I think, yesterday was more of a combination of things that made the attendance that low. If it was a summer game and school was out and, the weather was decent and the Cubs weren't in town. I mean, there were a lot of factors going this way, but I know you Cub fans like to jump all over it. I got a buddy at work who just wouldn't let it go. And he's been posting on Facebook about it all day. And it's, like, really, let's just, get over, they got to get over themselves. The White Sox don't draw anyways. I mean, even when they're good, they don't draw. So it's not like you should expect them to draw now that they're bad and rebuild.
No, but I mean, it's sad.
No, well, like I said, I know, it's something Cubs fans, like to do. As much as they try to talk about how they're better than, other fans and this kind of stuff, they're no different. I mean, this is what you do as a fan, your team only drew this many people or, that kind of stuff. And, like I said, it's just one of those, the way fans are. And, you have to expect it from them, but, you just got to, if you actually are a Sox fan, and I don't know too many of them anymore, you just kind of take it with a grain of salt and move on because your team looks like it's headed in the right direction. I mean, so far so good. The prospects seem to be, producing the way you would expect. And I mean, even the pitchers have looked better than what I thought they were going to. Still a few too many walks from the young guys, but that's something you can work out with experience. And it's not all bad there.
No, but I mean, at the end of the day, you just, what's the situation they have going on financially wise? You've got to wonder how this team is going to survive.
Oh, they'll be fine by now. I mean, they're not paying anybody. Who's the only guy making money? James Shields? I don't even know what a Abreu makes. I don't think he makes that much. Yeah. So
they did have 10,000 sales though. So there was an upwards of 10,000 paid tickets.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I don't know. I didn't look to see what the attendance was today. I mean, the weather was a little better, so I'm sure, it probably improved. And the fact that, the Cubs had a night game, that probably helped things out. So, again, it's just one of those situations. I mean, people, and this is the one thing that Cubs fans seem to not realize is they're incredibly loyal compared to the rest of the fans in baseball, I mean, you could look and, you know, I'm sure, you know, the Rays, right, you know, the Rays who have been rebuilding for I don't know how many years don't draw. You know, even when they were good, they didn't draw. You know, I mean, just watch the Reds attendance drop now that, you know, they're going to try to rebuild. I mean, you know, even the Brewers on what was it, opening night, they had an abysmal, like, I think it was 20,000 for that first Thursday night game against the Cubs. You know what I mean? That's a, you know, obviously just one of those, you know, weird situations. I mean, it just, it's early in the season. The weather has sucked and, you know, kids are still in school. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, makes it a little more difficult to, you know, get out to the ballpark or however you want to, you know, you want to look at it, but, you know, I mean, they'll be fine. You know, I mean, it's not like they're losing money or anything, you know, just kind of how it goes. Here, today's announced attendance was 10,431. I don't know how many people were actually in the ballpark, but that was tickets sold today.
Be just enough to keep them afloat because there's a lot of people employed to work on that day. And that's what I meant is, you know, with the – but I guess they're all under contract, so – it's not like the White Sox are actually paying the individual food vendors. So I don't know, really know how much that works. But, you know, at least with the Cubs rebuild, they still had an upwards of 20-plus. So you can kind of match that out for 5 years.
Well, that's because
– you've got to imagine.
That's because their fans were loyal. You know, I mean – you know, and you also have to look at it. I mean, monetarily-wise, I believe there's a little more money on the north side than the south side. And, you know, we've talked about it before. You've been to both places. Wrigley Field is a much cooler area to hang out in than after the game. I mean, when you're done it, when the White Sox are done, all you want to do at G-Rate Field or whatever they're calling it this year is go home. You know, there's nowhere, you know, like Wrigley, you can walk across the street. You can't do that at G-Rate.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's the other side of the coin, too, is, you know, all you want to do is go home, Big Jack. That's all you can do. There's no reason to show up. There's no reason to stay afterwards. And if you're there an hour after the game is over, well, that's because the city and the White Sox haven't figured out how to direct traffic yet. So that's why you're still there. I know they do some tailgating, so maybe you do go there early for tailgating, which, you know, is probably – much more economical than going down to Wrigley and spending, you know, $10 on a burger and, you know, another $7 on a beer just before you get in the gate. So I don't know. There's pluses and minuses to it all, but with the way G-Rate is set up, I mean, at least with the Cubs inside the neighborhood, you've got a lot going on and there's just a little bit more to do, but the way G-Rate is set up, there's really nothing over there. And it's just, I think that puts a damper on.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what, you know, the last Mayor Daley tried, you know, obviously he was a Sox fan and he, you know, he did what he could to, you know, offer businesses breaks or whatever, you know, he could do to get them to go in there and just, you know, nothing worked out. So, you know,
the thing that always just baffles me is the fact that they finally put, you know, a transit, the commuter train, or, you know, here we call it the Metro. I don't know where it is where you live. Not you, Big Jack, but anyone listening. They just put a stop for the train, like, within the last 5 years. I don't even think it's been up for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, for the last 25 years, people that live in my parents' area, or even where I live now, could have been taking the train to the game for the last 20 years. But instead, you know, we were all forced to drive.
Yeah.
So it's break time for me.
Yeah, you know, and that's, Yeah, you know, that's always a difficult thing. But, you know, I know yesterday, you know, we talked a little bit about my FanDuel lineup. And, you know, a couple of my, you know, what I was calling my underrated guys actually came through. You know, Hyunjin Ryu turned out to be a pretty good play at starting pitcher. You know, surprisingly, I want to pull it up here and make sure I've got all my facts straight so I don't mislead any of you here from yesterday. Let me see here. Yeah, Ryu ended up scoring me 52 points. Wilmer Flores was another guy I had as a value play. He scored 28-2. Curtis Granderson was another guy I mentioned. He scored 24-7. It was 24.7. Haha, I know, I get it. The one value guy that didn't work out for me was just Pat Velika. He ended up taking an over. I got absolutely nothing out of him. You know, the guys who, you know, kind of washed out for me, Zach Cozart scored 6.2. Josh Donaldson scored 6. Bryce Harper was a huge bust. He got just 6.2 points for me. Brian Anderson was solid with 12 points. And then, believe it or not, Mike Trout finally produced for me. Got 27.9 points for me, which is big. Normally, I just eat it when, you know, I get Trout going for whatever reasons. But tonight I went with, you know, looking around, kind of checking out the other, you know, the other options and stuff. It was decided just kind of through the other things that Alex Wood was going to be the best pitcher play tonight. He did cost me $8,800. So I ended up paying a little bit for him there, but, you know, I'm going to run with it against the A's and hope he has a really good night. I went with Joey Gallo at first base for $3,600. He was another guy they looked at as you could call him an undervalued play. You know, $3,600 for a first baseman / catcher is actually a pretty low price. So he's undervalued there. For $3,000, I plugged in Jonathan Scope of the Orioles at second base. Todd Frazier is my third baseman for $3,500. You know, the Mets have just been so good. I'm hoping he puts something up for me there tonight. Another guy that they had as being a little under the radar tonight was Jose Peraza, just $2,400. He's batting second for the Reds tonight. FanDuel lists him as a shortstop, even though I believe he's been playing second base the majority of the time. And then I went with two guys they had as being really solid value outfielders. Another Red, actually, Jesse Winker cost me $2,600. He was really highly rated on a website called NumberFire today. So I bought in, and, you know, so I've got the top two hitters in the Reds order, so they need to hit tonight. And then another guy was Jock Peterson at just $2,200. He's hitting second for the Dodgers tonight. So that could be a good value. You know, if you could grab 5 at-bats out of Peterson, and, you know, even if he just gets a couple hits for $2,200, you know, say you get lucky, he gets 2 hits and scores a run, you've probably got your value for him. You know, so that would be, you know, obviously you would want a lot more, but that could be it. I decided to gamble and go with Mike Trout again. I figured, what the hell, it worked last night. I might as well try it again. And I had some extra money, so he was $5,300. I plugged him in. And then I wrapped up my lineup with the guy batting behind Trout in his order. That was Justin Upton. I just really liked his matchup tonight against Mike Moore. You know, lefty-righty, Moore is kind of a soft tosser. So, you know, I'm going that route. But, yeah, just real quick, it's Alex Wood on the mound, Joey Gallo in that catcher first base slot, Jonathan Scope at second, Todd Frazier at third, Jose Peraza at short. The outfield is Winker, Peterson, and Trout. That's Jesse Winker, Jock Peterson, and Mike Trout. And then my utility guy is Justin Upton. Now, humorously, if you're not a FanDuel player or maybe you're just a casual player, they have a free roll going on, which they're calling their home run challenge. Basically, it's pretty simple. You pick 3 guys, and the guy who hits the most home runs wins. Just kind of straightforward, plain and simple. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is the third day they've done it. And I have actually yet, out of the six guys I've picked, none of them have hit a home run. So yeah, yesterday the guy actually won $500 because he hit four home runs. Two, oddly enough, from Asdrubal Cabrera and two from Justin Bour. I got none. So yeah, I picked six guys, and I was telling Dan before we went on the air that interestingly enough, two guys I picked on Monday homered last night. So I guess I was just a day off, but you know, we shall see how this goes tonight. But I know I used Dan's guy Jonas as one of my guys tonight. I'm not sure. Let me see who the other guys ended up being. I went with Jonas, Manny Machado, and Mikel Franco as my three guys tonight. So we'll see how that works out for me, and if I can. You know, I would love a four homer night and to win $500. That would be fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
So, you know, how does that happen for me? So, you know, and it's so weird because you think, you know, how hard could it be to pick, you know, guys to hit home runs? But yeah, I've picked six guys that haven't hit any.
So we'll
see if. If it continues now, for me, yeah, just kind of the state of my luck.
Now, of course, I don't want you to go over your entire blog on air because that's what you write it for people to read. I haven't gotten to read it yet because I got busy at work this morning. But I wanted to ask, I did read like the first paragraph, but I didn't see really getting into the fact that the Pirates are going to run away with the division like the Mets. And it's just going to be Mets versus Pirates. So I just wanted to get your take on everything.
Sadly, I didn't quite get to everything. I wanted to make sure I had some, you know, some hockey and some basketball since it is almost playoff time there. So, you know, just one of those things. But it's interesting when the New York teams get good, how everybody is on the bandwagon and everybody is paying attention. You know, what's kind of odd is with everything going on, the Red Sox, who are off to like, what are they? They're 8-1 or 9-1, have actually been kind of buried in all this kind of just hilarity that, you know, that goes on with these morons. I mean, besides the Ohtani stuff, you know, and him being the best player in baseball now and winning every award that's out there, you know, I think they're going to find ways to give him awards in the National League, even though he doesn't play over there. You would think that the Mets have struck the pot of gold, right?
Oh, I know. Well, and I had to throw this one in there. I think Ohtani's got the MVP, the Rookie of the Year, the Silver Slugger, and the Gold Glove. That's
and
pretty
the
much
Cy
the
Young.
Majors, right? Oh, the Cy
and
Young.
The Cy Young.
I forget. That's five. Wow, he's gonna.
Yeah, he'll be the he'll be the first player probably ever in the history of the game to sweep all that.
And it'll be unanimous.
You know, it's just
unanimous.
it's just kind of funny because you know, and the Angels are off to a good start, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, they seem to forget that the Astros are just a half a game behind them with a much better team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay, you know, and I mean, you know, the Mets have been healthy. Their pitchers are there. Does everybody have Washington as a 500 team? Is that why the Mets are going to win it? Nobody thinks the Nationals are going to be any better than 500 last year. You know, I mean, even in all this commotion, Dan, nobody mentioned how good Steven Strasburg pitched last night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, he
was
fantastic.
You know, it is a little surprising to see the Nats kind of drop some games that they should be winning. But I didn't even realize the Pirates' record. You know, we talked about this yesterday. Right now, I don't even look at the standings. I don't care. Simply because, you know, kind of like with the NBA playoffs in the West, whoever's in fourth could be in, you know, 10th in 3 days. So it, to me, it's looking at the standings doesn't really mean anything. the only reason I brought it up was because I was tuned in today, you know, Facebook Watch. If you get the opportunity, you can check it out on Facebook. It's a cool concept. I don't think they're doing enough with it. I think they could do a hell of a lot more with it, but that's besides the point. The reason I brought it up was, you know, obviously it was the Brewers versus the Cardinals, and they were talking Central baseball. And it was brought up the fact that the Pirates were the leader, I think, in the division. And I just was dying laughing to myself because I immediately thought of you and how the Mets were going to just run away with the NL division. So I just had to throw that in there. You know, a team's finding a way to win that shouldn't even be winning, who got rid of their two best players, you know, in the offseason.
Yeah, well, doesn't Facebook have to get Mark Zuckerberg through Congress first before they can do anything else with Facebook Watch?
I honestly have no idea. I could care less about the whole him going to Congress. I don't even know what it's about. I'm sure it's all about Russians and Trump and, you know, fake ads and Russians.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're back to, you know, the 80s or the 50s, whatever you want to call it. Pretty soon we're all going to be buying shelters or fallout shelters.
Oh, I already have one. Last night, in case you missed it, Dan, Strasburg pitched 8 innings against the Braves, 3 hits, no runs, did walk 2, but he struck out 8. He improved his record to 2-1. So, yeah, he was rolling pretty well last night. You know, the Steven Strasburg we've always kind of hoped we would see between the injuries and the way they, you know, they've kind of babied him and stuff. But yeah, now it looks like that he's 29. They may actually let him pitch like an actual pitcher. And, you know, maybe he'll go out and, you know, make 33 starts and win, you know, 18 or 19 games. So, but yeah, it's just baffling. Well, you know, like, you know, they were talking about the AL Central, you know, Dan, the Cubs are in third place. They're only 500 right now. Oh, wait, it's just 10 games. You know, did you and I both have the Cubs as a 500 team? And, you know, like you said,
no.
The Pirates are going to weigh. They're going to play 800 baseball all season. You know, these teams are going to come back to the pack. Like yesterday I mentioned, there was somebody complaining because the Dodgers haven't gotten a win in Kershaw's 3 starts this year. Okay, it's 3
well,
starts out of probably 32?
Yeah, well. Well, and it annoys me just because I lost last week, so my fantasy.
Well, yeah, that's you should. You should lose every week, especially to me. So, you know. But, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's teams off to a great start. I mean, my buddy Rory's all excited because the Diamondbacks are 9-3. I think they're 10-3 now because I'm sure that game is final with the Giants. You know, and
yeah.
I mean, it's cool for – you know, like in one of the things I actually said in the blog, I understand why fans do it. You know, I mean, I would be jumping up and down right now if the damn Mariners were 9-2 or 1 instead of 6-4. You know, but they have won 2 in a row, and I'll take that. You know, the King pitched pretty well last night. That's a good sign for them. You know, I'm happy about that. But you know, you and I don't get paid to do this, so if we get excited as fans, it's one thing. There's these idiots on TV that cash checks that are paid to do this, talking about, you know, Mike Trout's now the second best player on the Angels. The Mets are going to run away with the NL East. You know, it's over already after 12 games. You know, the Mets are going to the World Series. You know, really, you know, I don't get it. And these people are paid money to be idiots, and it's just completely baffling. And you know, like some of these guys I used to actually respect, you know, Harold Reynolds was the guy who said Mike Trout's now the second best player on the Angels. I completely lost all the respect I had for Harold Reynolds. I used to think he was a pretty good baseball analyst. Now I think he's a moron, you know, because he looked into a television camera and actually said Mike Trout is now the second best player on the Angels. Maybe he wasn't serious and he was trying to be funny, but man, it sure sounded like he was serious and I took him for real. So sorry, Harold, you're done with me. You'll never say anything credible with me again. You know, after that, I mean, you can't get out of that hole. That's, You know, that's just ridiculous. You know, and I'm the guy who's been harder on Trout than anybody else. And, you know, here I am defending the damn guy because of some stupid statement Harold Reynolds made.
Well, and, I mean, no doubt. It's been exciting. I think it's fun to watch. And, I mean, my wife tricked me with a trip to New York that we're not going to go on, where we would have went to a Mets game Friday night and a Yankees game Saturday night or vice versa. And it was, you know, Aaron Judge bobblehead night. And then the next night would have been Jonas Gnome night. So I was all excited and we're not going. But anyways, I might, you know, I see how the summer goes, but with the way the Angels are playing, I think I'm looking to go to the White Sox game when the Angels are in town and get a showy.
Yeah.
Ohtani shirt.
There you go.
Maybe you want to go. You got a Pujols shirt, which, by the way, we haven't talked about, but he looks pretty damn good. You know, you mentioned he came back, lost some weight coming into this season, and from, you know, just the looks of him, I mean, Pujols looks pretty. It really looks damn good for his age.
So yeah, you know, it's nice to see that he's playing better. So, you know, that's a big plus because, you know, they had him, you know, buried and, you know, out of the game and, you know, that's a big plus. You know, hopefully he can keep it up and, you know, it works out. So, you know, that would be cool to see, even though I don't have him anywhere on any teams this year. So it just didn't work out. So, you know, we will have to see. So, all right. I just caught a tidbit of this, and I don't think you and I have mentioned this, but the tagline is, it says, how $0 tickets could fix MLB's attendance problem. Have you heard of this? Apparently, it's something the Orioles are doing. Let's see what I can find here. It says, in March, the Orioles announced that this season they would launch Kids Cheer Free. A program in which an adult who purchases an Upper Deck ticket can receive two more, God, I'm not, how do you pronounce it, Dan? G-A-R-T-I-S? How do you pronounce it?
G-R-E, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. For the game, as long as the accompanying fans are 9 years old or under.
Granted. It's like gratuity.
Yeah. It apparently looks like they're giving away their Upper Deck tickets. If you buy one, you can get a couple free as long as you're bringing kids. You know, Dan, that seems like a pretty decent way to introduce kids to the game, though, at least, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's something the White Sox didn't do that, but the White Sox and the Reds, they both offered some kind of package where Upper Deck seats, you can basically buy like a monthly pass and go to any game you want for the month of April.
Huh.
Which I mean, I'll be honest, if I didn't have a job, that's what I would be doing. I would, you know, get my welfare check and spend the $40 for the month of April and just go to White Sox games every day. Maybe you'll be there so much they'll give you a job, you know what I mean? But
yeah, there you go.
I'm like, you know, and even to flip that, if I were single, I think I would have, even not being a White Sox fan, I would have went in on it. Because, you know, the weekends I would have gone and called up my White Sox friends and been that jerk that wears my Cubs stuff to the White Sox games. You know. So, but, no, I think that's a great thing for, you know, the Orioles to do and to even offer. I mean, you've got to do something. And, you know, if you're gratising these seats, I'm sure it's a business write-off. So the team technically you know, they'll be able to write their losses off at the end of the year. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that actually, I mean, it seems like one of the better ideas to go out and try to get, you know, that's the thing is they always want to introduce the game to younger fans. And instead of listening to the BS about how, well, you know, we need to speed it up for them because, you know, they're not going to, you know, to sit through a 4-hour game or something, maybe get them to the game while they're young and introduce them to it while, you know, they're under nine. And, you know, this may be one of those opportunities where they'll take to the game and enjoy it.
Well, not only that, Big Jack, you keep, not you, but, you know, they keep coming at us with this pace of play. We got to speed up the game, younger audience. Well, speeding up the game has nothing to do with the younger audience. Number one, throwing the game on at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday is going to get kids to watch it. Not right now because they're all in school, but I did see some people tweet or on Facebook mentioning that, you know, they were excited to be some UW kids, some kids from Wisconsin. They were happy to be watching the game on Facebook during lecture hour. But I mean, give it a month or two and all the kids who, you know, are stuck at home because their parents are working or, you know, not allowed to go anywhere at the time until mom and dad get home or whatever, they're going to be sitting on social media. Plus, I don't think kids go anywhere now. They're on their phones anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way to get them introduced. But, you know, the talk about pace to play, pace to play, pace to play, that kids can't sit through it. Big Jack, every blockbuster movie, comic book movie especially, that's, you know, geared towards basically men and young kids, you're at this movie theater for 3 hours, okay? The movie is almost 2.5 hours long now, not to mention the 20 minutes of previews, which, you know, the added advantage now to a lot of theaters is you're getting assigned seats, so you don't have to go right when the movie starts. But, I mean, in a day and age where you keep talking about speeding it up, speeding it up, speeding it up, movies keep getting longer and longer and longer. NFL games are longer and longer and longer. You know, I mean, the only thing baseball would really need to speed up is the fact that it's 162 games.
Well, you know, like the weird part with baseball is there are natural breaks in it. You know, I mean, there's a break between innings. There's a break between, you know, pitching changes. I mean, there's all these built-in little breaks that, you know, you can use or have or need or how, you know, however you want to do it. You know, it's not like you're stuck there for that entire 3 hour period like you would be in a movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can get up, go get something to eat or use the bathroom or whatever you got to do. You know, like right now, the Tigers are making a pitching change. Okay. You know, you could, I'm always kind of baffled by that.
With the White Sox out in left field, they have the Comcast Kid Zone. And I mean, you could, and there's no limitations. You could be sitting on the last seat in the top of the building and you can go down there and bring your, you know, your three kids and they could throw pitches. They could do it. You know, they've got the kids stuff going on there. So it's not, you can find things to do at, you can't do any of that at Wrigley. There's no kids anything there. So that's probably them in Boston.
Oh, all right. Well, the music that Dan and I are going to take off for Wednesday here, but we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Don't forget to link over to that Facebook page and give that a like. There's also the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can stalk Dan and I on Twitter if you'd like. We'd be cool with that. But as always, a big thanks to you coming on here and listening live. But remember, you can go over to TuneIn.com and listen to the podcast anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.